Welcome to His Church Owensboro Podcast. We are so excited about what God is doing in your life, and we would love to hear from you. Visit us at hischurch.cc and let us know about all of the things that God is doing in your life. If you have been blessed by this podcast and would consider supporting us financially, please visit hischurch.cc and click on Give to see the many options available. Thank you for joining us. We hope this message blesses you.
Well, I'm excited you're here. Just turn to your neighbor, tell them this. Say you look like you've lost 20 pounds. Let them know that. Even if you got to lie to them tonight, make them feel good in the house of God. Amen? You'll come back tomorrow night. Hey, this is night two. Come on, y'all give Pastor Chris McDonald a hand clap for blessing us last night. It was an awesome word. We love you, brother. Some Marion folk in the house, too. We appreciate you. And I'll tell you, we got tonight. Tonight's going to be awesome. Got two more nights. We got great lineup for you. And I really feel like the Spirit of God's going to do something supernatural in here. I don't know if you came here just to be here tonight or you came here to push in and to get something from the presence of God. That's what I'm here to do. I'm expecting God to speak to me. I'm expecting revelation knowledge to flow into my life. I'm expecting my faith to go higher tonight. And I'll tell you, I'm so excited to have Pastor Jabin Chavez here with us from City Light Church out in Las Vegas, Nevada. Pioneered that church. He just hit his one-year birthday as a church, and that church is coming close to 1,000 people showing up. Come on, somebody give God a hand clap for the increase and the kingdom benefit there. And Pastor Jabin is accomplished minister of the Word of God, also has an incredible gift to lead in worship. He's going to lead us in a moment, and I'll tell you, you're going to enjoy him. He preached out at the His Church Conference in Amarillo and brought such a word from the Lord. I was encouraged, man. I laughed, I cried, I got born again. It was awesome. He's going to help you tonight, and I want you to stand up on your feet and give Pastor Jabin a big His Church welcome, man. We're so glad you're here, brother.
Well, good evening, everybody. Why don't we give Jesus one big clap and a shout? Come on, everybody. Woo! Amen. Thank you, Lord. Just stay standing right there.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. Restore every heart that is broken. So we say, great are you, Lord.
Let's sing that again. You give life, everybody. Come on.
You give life. You are love. And you bring light to the dark. Every heart that is broken. Oh, and great are you, Lord. It's your breath, it's your breath in our lives. So we pour out our praise.
We pour out our praise.
Oh, it's your breath in our lives. So we
lift up your hands right there, right there, right there.
Breathe in His grace and breathe out His praise. Breathe in His mercy. It's new every
every morning. Great is your faithfulness, Lord, to me. Every voice, say all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth, say all the earth. Let it rise, our heart. I feel it, church. I feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit falling like rain right now. Say it again. Coming upon you right now. The life of God is falling upon you. Say great. One more time, one more time. All the earth, we say, all the earth will shout your praise, and our hearts will cry. We say, Lord, we take a moment. Hallelujah. There's a story in the book of Acts, chapter 9, where the Apostle Peter gets called by a family to lay hands on a woman who died. It's a really interesting wording that you could just kind of read over if you're not careful. But in Acts chapter 9, the Bible says that Peter came in the house and he kicked everybody out of the room. That's a whole other sermon. Kicked everybody out of the room because not everybody's conducive to the miracle that God has for you. Not everybody's assigned to your breakthrough. And so Peter was, I'm from Belen, New Mexico. I'm a trailer park kid. Peter was hood enough to know who to remove from his life. Amen. Don't let the Ralph Lauren fool you, all right? I will cut you. I was born in a single wide. Ain't no mobile homes in 1982. That was a trailer. And he kicked out the doubt and unbelief, but then he did some amazing, Pastor. I just saw it this week. The Bible said he knelt and prayed. And after he prayed, he turned to the body and raised her from the dead. He didn't pray facing her because it would have killed his faith. Some of y'all have stared at that dead thing for so long, and you keep praying for that husband or praying for that wife or praying for that kid or praying for the finances or praying, and you just keep looking at it, and every day you look at it, it just keeps getting bigger, and you're wondering, why can't I get a breakthrough? And sometimes you actually have to turn your back on it and fix your eyes, Hebrews 12, on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, and go, Lord, I've prayed, I've done all I know to do, but now I'm going to turn from this thing for a second. I'm going to turn my back on this thing for one moment, because every time I look at it, it just strips me of my faith and my hope. So instead, I'm going to turn away from it. I'm going to turn to you. He prays, he worships, he looks at Jesus, he gets into the Holy Ghost, he begins to sing songs like this, and then when his faith rises, he turns back around and he goes, all right, now I can face it. And maybe, just maybe tonight, maybe the good news is God heard my prayer. So now I'm going to turn from it, and I'm going to thank God. And so maybe for one moment, take your eyes off of all of it and put them back on Jesus. And trust Him that while you're worshiping, He's fighting. Can you lift your hands one time and forget about every problem, forget about every need, and forget about every miracle that you need? And I promise you, God's going to do miracles. But for just a moment, take your eyes off of all of it. And for just one moment, put your eyes on Jesus tonight. Come on, Ben, help me just build this thing a little bit. And just worship Him for one moment. Just thank Him for one moment. Just honor Him for one moment. He heard your prayer, y'all. I promise you He's heard you. I promise you He's faithful. I promise you He's not a man that He should lie, nor the Son of Man that He should repent. I promise you that the promises of God are yes and amen. I promise you that He will not break His covenant. I promise you that He's going to be faithful to you. I promise you're going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But you prayed and you believed. So now stop doing that and put your eyes on Him and thank Him and worship Him and honor Him and glorify Him one time. Oh, come on, say it's your breath.
It's your breath in our lungs.
Come on, so we pour it out tonight.
Done, and we trust You, and we thank You in advance for all You're about to do in our life in the name of Jesus. Don't forget, it's only February, y'all. Some of y'all, we're only in February, and some of y'all think we're 6 months in. No, we're not. We're just a few weeks into 2019. God's got a lot of good things for you this year. Don't you dare quit so soon. Oh, come on, why don't you believe God for one moment that it's going to be the best year of your life? Come on, clap your hands if you believe it and shout. Hallelujah. The path of the righteous is getting brighter and brighter. Proverbs chapter 4. Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. All right, before you're seated, give somebody a hug or something and tell them they look good tonight. Show some love. And we're going to get right into God's word. Amen. It's an honor to be here tonight. And I want to thank Pastor Brian and Jesse, Pastor Jesse, for this opportunity. This could come down a little bit, I think. And just want to say it's an honor. It's my first time preaching in Kentucky. And I'm glad to be here. And thank you for having me, Pastor. Thank you for having me. I honor you. And it was an honor to be in Amarillo. And thanks for having me back already. And the rumor is Kentucky's better than Texas. That's what I heard. And so, but I appreciate you. And, you know, I appreciate pastors that would do what they're doing these four nights together. You know, this isn't just about doing services for service sake. This is for you. This is ministry for you to get a word from God as we begin the year that can change your life. So to the worship team, to every usher, every greeter, every parking lot attendant, every kids worker, to the pastors and to the staff, thank you for creating this opportunity for us to have an opportunity to meet with God. But I know you really love your senior pastors. Can you let them know that you love them tonight? We love you guys. We appreciate you. And thank you for 15 years now of ministry. I'm 12 months in. We started a year ago, and I'm already out of stuff to preach.
You've been doing this for a long time. I'm just teasing, but I'm kind of naughty, but I'm from Vegas, so forgive me if I say anything that's inappropriate. But my point is, y'all have just been going and going and going, and we honor you tonight for it. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1, and here's what the Bible says. God grabbed me, and God's Spirit took me up and set me down in the middle of an open plain strewn with bones. He led me around among them, a lot of bones. There were bones all over the plain, dry bones bleached by the sun. Verse 3, he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, Master God, only you know that. He said to me, prophesy to these bones. And here's what God told Ezekiel to say. Dry bones, listen to the message of God. God the Master told the dry bones, watch this. I'm bringing the breath of life to you, and you'll come to life. I'll attach sinews to you, put meat on your bones, cover you with skin, and breathe life into you. You will come alive, and you'll realize that I am God. So I prophesied just as I'd been commanded. In other words, he said the very thing that God told him to say. And as I prophesied, notice this, as I prophesied, there was a sound. And that is the supernatural sound that can fill the church of Jesus Christ, that is beyond the speakers and beyond the musicians. It's the prophetic sound that begins to come out of God's house. It's beyond hype. It's beyond a concert. It's beyond good lights and good sound and good worship and good music. There is a sound from heaven that begins to fill. There's a shift in the atmosphere. Notice this, that God spoke, and then Ezekiel spoke what God spoke, and then after Ezekiel spoke, there was a sound released. And so there's this sound now. Oh, what a rustling. And as I prophesied, the bones moved and came together, bone to bone. I kept watching, sinews formed, and the muscles on the bones, and the skin stretched over them. But they had no breath in them, so he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Tell the breath, God the Master says, come from the four winds, come, O breath. Breathe on these slain bodies, breathe life. So I prophesied just as he commanded. And the breath entered them, and they came alive. They stood up on their feet, a huge army. I want to preach this for a couple of moments tonight. It's conference. It's 7:50 right now. I'm going to have you out of here by 3:30 a.m. Because it's conference. Some of y'all, that was nervous laughter. You're like, oh. Jesus. Just give me a couple minutes tonight, and I want to preach from the subject, what to do in a valley. What to do in a valley. What to do in a valley. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is spirit. It is life. It is powerful. And it can change us tonight. One word from God can change everything. I thank you tonight that not one person is here by accident, but we are here by divine appointment. Speak, Holy Spirit. We're listening, and we're ready for a word from you. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen and amen and amen. What to do in a valley? Here's the first thing you need to know if you're in a valley today, if you're in a challenge today, if you are in a fight today, if you feel like you're in a situation that is bigger than you, if you feel like you're in a situation where you could really use a miracle, if you could really use God intervening, if you could really use some wisdom, if you could really use a word from heaven. If you've ever been in a valley, you know what it feels like. If you're in a valley right now, you know exactly what you're feeling. And here's the first thing you have to remember when you're in a valley. Number one, you have to know that God is with you. Don't let the valley intimidate you, and don't let the valley convince you that you are forsaken. Don't let the valley lie to you and tell you that you made a mistake and that's why you are where you are. I want to remind you of Ezekiel 37, verse 1. God grabbed me. If we want to go back to the old King James, the hand of the Lord was upon me. That even in the valley, God is with me. That even in the valley, I am not alone. That even in the valley, I have not made so many mistakes that God has left me, God has forsaken me, or God is so frustrated with me, and that's why I am where I am. Because anytime you face challenge, the first thing the devil's going to tell you is you obviously did something wrong, and that's why you are where you are. But I want to remind you that sometimes you're in a valley, and God is actually with you in the valley, and there's actually some things you're about to learn in the valley that you could not learn any other way. Can I just remind you tonight that there is no fruit on the mountaintop? There is only fruit in the valley. And trust me, I love mountaintops, and I love mountaintop moments, and I love being in the upper room with Jesus, and I love mountaintop moments. But there is something about walking with God through the valley of the shadow of death. Now I ain't gonna live in the valley forever, and I'm not gonna die in the valley. But while I'm in the valley, I'm gonna hold on to God, and I'm gonna see God's faithfulness, and I'm gonna see God's kindness, and I'm gonna see God's patience, and I'm gonna see God's provision, and His rod and His staff are gonna comfort me, and He's gonna make a meal for me in the presence of my enemies. He's gonna anoint my head with oil, and my cup is gonna overflow in the valley. I'm not gonna die in the valley, struggle in the valley, complain in the valley, live in fear in the valley, go hide in a bunker somewhere in the valley. No. In the valley, I'm gonna hold on to God, and I'm gonna see something in God that I could not see any other way. God is with me, and God is with you. And I don't know what the devil's been telling you. I don't know what your mama's been telling you. I don't know what your friends have been telling you, but I've come to tell you, according to God's word, God is with you. And if God is with you, God is for you. I'm sorry, I'm shouting already. I just met you 3 minutes ago, and I'm already. But if God is with you, then God is for you. And if God is for you, then no one can be against you. In the name of Jesus, you're not going to die in the valley. You're going to make it through because God's with you. Touch your neighbor, tell them, God's with me. God's with me. God's with me. God's with me. And I may be in a valley of dry bones right now. I might be surrounded by death right now. It may look like a graveyard right now, but I will not let this circumstance lie to me and tell me that it's over. It's not over till God says it's over. And God said, I'm going to see His goodness in the land of the living. And that means this valley is not the end of my story. It's simply a chapter in my story. But I'm going to a place that is brighter and brighter in the name of Jesus. So don't let resistance discourage you. Don't let the fight steal your joy. The resistance doesn't prove that God has left you. The resistance proves that you're about to see a miracle. And so I'm not scared of this moment. I'm waiting to see what God's going to do in this moment. And maybe, just maybe, you're in the valley, Ezekiel, to bring change to the valley. Maybe you're there to prophesy a new end to the valley. Maybe the whole reason you are where you are is not so you'll die there, but so that you'll come out of there with a mighty army. Maybe it's your voice. Maybe it's your assignment. Maybe it's what's on your life. Maybe there's a grace on you for your family, a grace on you for that business, a grace on you for where you are. And it's your prophetic voice that is going to not only bring you out, but it's going to bring out many with you. Maybe you're the vessel to bring change to the valley that you're currently in. Nehemiah chapter 13 verse 2 says, our God turned the curse into a blessing. And God can turn a valley of dry bones into the greatest miracle you've ever seen in the name of Jesus. So when I'm in a valley, I recognize that God is with me. Number two, I look for the possibility. Look for the possibility. God said in verse 3, He said, yo, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Ezekiel saw dry bones. God saw possibility. Ezekiel saw very dry bones. God saw a big miracle. To Ezekiel, it was hopeless. But to God, the conditions were perfect. Look for the possibility. See, because we all have this natural bent towards negativity. Am I right about it? One little thing happens. Oh, man, the devil's after me. Our air conditioner broke. Devil's been after my air conditioner. I just knew it. I've been under warfare. Driving down the road and your tire pops. Man, the devil blew out my tire. No, you just haven't changed your tires because you're cheap. I've been real tired. The enemy's out. No, you're just working a lot. We have this natural bent towards negativity. A lot of times we talk ourselves into moments that are not even real. Don't have a natural bent towards negativity. Look for the miracle. Look for the possibility. Look for what God is doing. It takes no spiritual maturity to just see what is and call it what is. But it takes faith to see what God is doing even when it doesn't look obvious. The possibility is not always obvious, but it's always there. So I heard this story about a preacher. He went out and played golf with two other preachers. And two of the preachers were really good golfers, and the third guy was terrible. And so the first two guys, they're at a par three, and they're kind of hitting from a high place, and they're hitting down into the green. And so the first guy hits, and as they're hitting their ball, they're hitting into the sunset. And so they would hit the ball, and it would kind of go into the sun, and then it would kind of disappear, and then it would kind of reappear and drop. And so the first guy, sure, man, he hit, and the ball kind of goes into the sun, and then it kind of disappears, and then boom, it bounces on the green. Great shot. Second guy, another good golfer, he hits, and sure enough, goes into the sun, kind of disappears, hits the green, rolls off the green, but still a great shot. And so now it's the third guy, and he basically looks like Happy Gilmore out there. Y'all know what I'm saying? Like, I don't watch movies, but I know y'all sinner do, so I was trying to be relevant to you. And so he goes out there and he does his thing, and he hits that ball and it goes into the sunset and it disappears. And he just says, I give up. I'm so tired of golf. I'm trying to golf because that's what preachers do. Preachers have to golf, but I'm quitting golf. I'm done with golf. He throws the club. He's mad. He's angry. He's probably saying things that he wouldn't say behind this sacred desk, you know. And he's getting real mad, and his friends are going, no, mulligan, try again. He's going, no, I'm done with golf. I'm just going to drive the golf cart. This is too much. This is too stressful. I'm trying to relax, and golf is stressing me out. But while he's having his own little fit, the party in front of them, the foursome in front of them, they're all cheering and clapping. And he looks at his friends, and he goes, you know what? At least somebody today had a good shot. So then they get in the golf cart and they drive down to the green, and sure enough, there's ball number one, there's ball number two, and he can't find his ball, and he's frustrated, and he just says, you know what, I'm not even going to play, I'm not going to do anything, I'm just going to go do the flag for you. So he goes to the hole, and he goes and he grabs the flag, and as he's grabbing the flag, he goes, oh, look at that, those guys must have forgot their ball in the hole. So he goes to grab it, and oh, look at that, it's a Titleist 3, just like what I had. Puts it in his pocket, grabs the flag, and that foursome comes back, freaking out, cheering, clapping. Dude, bro, are you like a professional golfer? You're not even excited. You didn't even take a picture. You didn't even take a selfie. You didn't cheer. You didn't do anything. He said, what are you talking about? They said, you got a hole in one, and you don't even care. Friend, it was better than he thought it was. He was doing better than he thought he was. But he had this bent towards negativity. I just want to tell somebody, you're doing better than you think you are. Life is better than you think it is. More things are happening in your favor than you think are. God is good, and God is good to you, and God is faithful. But stop looking for the negativity. Start looking for the possibility. Can these bones live? Can a miracle happen? Can a city be reached? Can we start another campus? Can a relationship be restored? Can our child come home? Can my body be healed? Oh, friend, I'm not afraid of the fight. I'm not intimidated by the issue. I'm looking for the possibility. I'm expecting the hand of God to move. I'm choosing to see the good and believing for a miracle. A hopeless situation is an invitation for God to move. I'm looking for possibility. Look at your neighbor one more time. Tell him, look for the possibility. Come on, tell him that tonight. Look for the possibility. Look for the possibility. Ezekiel, can these bones live? And I love this in verse 3. Ezekiel says back, Lord, you know. So point number 3, you got to take a step into the unknown. Lord, you know. I love that Ezekiel said that. I don't know if you know what that means, but that was Ezekiel's way of saying, I don't think so. I love that Ezekiel didn't respond in King James English. Thou God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, of course it can happen. I love that he goes, huh? Have you ever had to squeak a response? Y'all haven't had to live by faith enough, I guess. Because if you've ever had to live by faith, sometimes it's not, yes, God, hallelujah. Sometimes it's, Some of y'all going through hell, when we were pouring out our praise, you went, And there's just as much faith in that squeak as there is in a hallelujah. Because sometimes all you can muster is a, Lord, you know. And if your pitch is a little higher, your hand goes a little higher, and you have a little less faith, Lord, you know. And if you're really freaked out, Lord, you know. As you're pulling your hair out. I love that Ezekiel didn't have the perfect response, but he knew the perfect God. You know, God will take a yes with a question mark. I love when I can answer God with an exclamation mark. Yes. But sometimes it's like, yeah. And God says, I'll take a yes with a question mark and I'll turn it into a miracle. I'll take a maybe. I'll take a I think. I'll take a I'm pretty sure. I'll take a and I'll do something with it. I remember when I felt like the Lord spoke to me about moving to Las Vegas to plant that church. And I went back home and I met with my pastor, Jensen Franklin. I said, Pastor Jensen, I think God spoke to me. I feel like I got a word from God. And he goes, Jabin, are you sure you got a word from God? And I looked back at him and I said, I think. And he said, well, that's about all you're gonna get. And I planted a church on an I think. And God will honor a, yeah. Were you supposed to start that business? Some months it's a yes. Other months it's a, Were you supposed to marry that person? For some of you it's, But it's something. Were you supposed to start that ministry? I think preachers have, I think sometimes we've lied to you because we get up in the pulpit and we go, the angel of the Lord woke me up at 3 a.m. out of a deep sleep. And I said, is it you, Lord? And he said, preach my gospel to the nations. And I said, yea, I will. And it's good preaching, but it is real, because most of us, we get a little knowing in our knower. And then like Peter, we're in the boat and we take a little step and we go, I hope we're going to start Amarillo campus and another campus. Oh, Jesus, don't let us sing, Jesus. But you know, when churches thrive when they don't need a perfect, clear, prophetic, thus saith the Lord, all the time from a preacher. You know, when churches grow, when the people of God say, you know what, Pastor, you're trying to hear from God just like we are, and we're going to take some bold steps of faith, and we're going to take a risk, and we're going to take a step into the unknown. More people need Jesus. More people need hope. More people need the gospel. Let's go to Amarillo. Let's start more campuses. Let's plant new ventures. Let's help more people. Let's do more things for the kingdom. Let's give more in the offering. Let's help more people. We don't always, the Bible said we see dimly, but to the best of our ability, we hear from heaven, and then we take a step. And some of you are waiting on the perfect word from God to ever do anything. Baby, you're going to keep waiting. I'm not saying you can't hear God. I'm saying I think we've made it so magical, so Disney. And sometimes it's like, Shaba katalaba, katalaba, taba. That was tongues for some of y'all. It wasn't Spanish. It's like, Shundai Jesus, I think you told me. And so we planted a church on a maybe because I figured it's Vegas, 2.2 million people. It's the sixth most unchurched city in our nation. Most of that 2.2 million people does not know Jesus. Makes sense to me. I love that city. I got a burden in my heart. Let's go. Let's look for the possibility. Let's believe God. So then we started trying to find a location, and we got 26 no's from 26 different venues on locations until we finally got one yes from Fess Middle School, and we planted this church in this cafeteria, and it was just so crazy. And I had my maybe was getting bigger. I was having less of an I know, and I was having more of an I think, but I started preaching. And some of you, you're waiting on a perfect circumstance to do anything. And the Bible says, if you consider the wind, you'll never sow.
Well, I don't know if the Holy Ghost is leading me to giving this offering here. I just don't know about.
I don't know why I talk like that, but I just... When I'm in Vegas, I do my little Mexican accent because I sound like my dad when I do it. I'm Mexican, just so you know, so it's not offensive.
I don't know if I should give. I don't know. I've been helping this TV preacher on TV. I think I should keep helping him.
Stop giving to that guy. He's got enough money. Help this ministry. Let's plant more churches. There you go. Thus saith the Lord. Well, I don't know. I've been helping. I don't want to mention TV programs, but I'm just like, stop already. Help the city you're living in. Okay, oops, I got to keep going. I got the whole worship team mad at me. They're like, we're going to go take a smoke break. We're mad. No, I'm just kidding. They're coming up here. You know what faith is? Faith is a pit in your stomach. You know, a lot of y'all, you get a pit in your stomach, you go, I just don't have peace. I just like don't have a peace about it. You know what? I've had a pit in my stomach since I planted that church a year ago. Because I'm taking a step of faith. You know how I wake up in the morning? Some of y'all wake up, oh, glory to God, it's going to be another good day. I wake up the same way every day. How am I going to pay this stuff? Jesus. I don't know. I know I don't have as much faith as you, but I'm just trying to help somebody. Because some of y'all, you want this, you want perfect faith. You don't need perfect faith. You need a little mustard seed of faith in a perfect faithful God who's going to see you through. That's faith. Just trying to help you. You got to take a step into the unknown. Eventually, no matter how clear that voice is and no matter how clear that word is from God, at the end of the day, your flesh is still going to resist what the Spirit of God's doing in you. So no matter what, there's going to be, even on the clearest words I've ever gotten from God, my flesh will still act up and go, you missed it. So eventually you got to take the step and go, Lord, you know. And you take the risk and you take the step and you try and you believe God. And if you fail, you fail forward. And you try again. Hallelujah. I love this, 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 6. Jonathan grabs his assistant, his armor bearer, and he goes, hey, there's some bad guys over there on the other side of that hill. Let's go pick a fight. This, like, you got to read your Bible. It's crazy. He goes, let's go fight them. And then he goes, maybe the Lord will give us the victory. Even the old King James doesn't make it that much better. Perhaps the Lord will give us the victory. On a maybe, the armor bearer goes, turn down for what? Let's go. On a maybe. What if we got there as a church? Maybe we should start more campuses. Let's go, Pastor. I'll give. I'll serve. I'll help. What do you need me to do? Perhaps we need another service to reach more people. I'm down. I'm ready to go. I don't want to over-spiritualize it. I think there's something about the spirit of faith that goes, I got this thing in my spirit. I think it's God. Let's take a leap of faith. And on a maybe, Jonathan's assistant said, let's go. And they went after the enemy. And God gave them the victory. God gave them the victory on a maybe. God gave them the victory on a perhaps. And I'm telling you, that's where so much of the Christian life is. It's on a maybe. It's on a Lord, you know. So maybe you need to start that business. Maybe you need to forgive that person. Maybe you need to apply for that scholarship. Maybe we need to go after more buildings. Maybe it's time to reach a city. Maybe, perhaps it's time to believe for more. Perhaps it's time to ask that person out. Perhaps it's time to do that next move that you've been believing God to do. And just maybe, maybe, just maybe God's in it. And whenever you take that step and you walk out of the boat and you walk on the water, you're going to be there with Jesus and you're going to see his faithfulness. Come on, we got to take a step though into the unknown. Lord, you know. Oh, come on, give God a praise. I'm almost done. I'm gonna finish. Grab the team, come, please. Number four, prophesy. Number four, prophesy to your situation. Verse 4, God said, talk to the bones. Some of you need to stop talking about the situation. I don't know if you're like people in Vegas, but some of you need to stop posting on Facebook about. And maybe it's time to talk to it. What if it's time to stop talking about the mountain? And it's time to start talking to the mountain. God said, talk to the bones. Don't post about the bones. Don't tweet about the bones. Don't Instagram story the bones. Don't Facebook the bones. Don't get on a Facebook Live talking about the bones and how dry they are. Stop talking about it. Stop calling your mama about the bones. Stop calling your friends about the bones. Stop complaining about the bones. Stop staring at the bones and eventually get a voice of faith on the inside of you and speak right to the bones and declare that they are going to rise. God said, talk to the bones. And when you talk to the bones, things have to change. All five of us kids in my family, we all wandered from God. We all did crazy things. We all did things we regret. But my parents continued to pray. And they continued to believe God. And they had a ridiculous faith. And they spoke to our spirit, not just to our flesh. And there were times that I'd wake up in the middle of the night and I would think there's a leak in the roof and it's raining. And as I would arise, I would realize it's mama with a bottle of anointing oil. And she'd go running out of there with oil. And because she didn't just talk about us. And she talked to our spirit. She talked to the dead thing in us and said, you got to come alive because me and my whole household are going to serve God and me and my whole family are going to be saved.
And I got a word from God over you. And no matter what you're going through right now, I got a word from God. And she talked to the bones. She talked to her babies. Ezekiel had a word from God, but he had to say it. What if instead of just going, God, can you hear me? What if you just said, in the name of Jesus, that dead thing has to rise. Stop talking about your situation. Start talking to your situation. I'm telling you, there's power in it. So Ezekiel prophesied and they came together. But then lastly, point number five, verse 10, God said, speak to the wind. Prophesy to the wind. When God says to prophesy to the wind, he's not saying that you can command the Holy Spirit. But what he is saying is he's saying come into agreement with the Holy Spirit and don't stop at structure. See, because when you begin to declare God's word and you begin to prophesy and you begin to speak God's word, your life begins to come into alignment. But you still need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit like I've never needed him before. And God said, you're going to have to invite Ezekiel, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of revelation into your life. I need the Spirit of God. I need that still small voice, Isaiah 30, verse 21. This is the way. Walk in it. I need that voice. I need the Spirit of the living God to talk to me, to lead me, to guide me, to encourage me, to empower me. I can't do this without the Holy Spirit. You know, today this was just a building. This was just concrete and steel and wood, paint. But about 7 o'clock, we gathered in this room. And we began to lift up the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, this building became the house of God. What changed was the Spirit of God. What can change your house into a sanctuary where the Lord reigns in that home, where peace reigns in that home, where strength reigns in that home, where confusion has to run out of that home? It's when the Spirit of God comes upon you in such a way that you bring it home, that it doesn't stay in these four walls, but you take it back to your house. And every demonic power, every demonic presence, it has to go in the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, there is a transformation over your home, and your house literally becomes a place where the glory of God dwells. I need the Holy Spirit, friend. I can't do this without the Spirit of God. I cannot do this just on my own and my own intellect. And let me just remind you of something. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need him in our life. Can I remind you that it is not God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Scripture? It is God the Holy Spirit. And I need the Spirit of God. I need the Holy Spirit as much as I need Jesus, as much as I need the Father. I need his voice. I need his power. I need his boldness. I need his wisdom. I need his strength. I need to feel his presence. I need the anointing of God. And God said, Ezekiel, invite the Holy Spirit into your situation and watch what happens. Come on, anybody need a fresh touch tonight of the Holy Spirit? Would you stand to your feet? Oh my God, I feel the anointing. I need you, Holy Spirit. Would you lift your hands? Ooh. That's all I want to say. Spirit of the living God, fall on me. Holy Spirit. Just with your hands raised. Whew. Shema kanda masika namaha sana masika namasokota. Spirit of God is strengthening you right now. He's anointing your head, Psalm 92, with fresh oil right now. Oh, Shaman Debosa. Hallelujah. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is quickening your mortal body right now. He's giving you energy. Some of you are so close to giving up, but right now the Spirit of God energizes you once again. I need you, Holy Spirit. I need you, Holy Spirit. I need you. Can you tell them that right now? I need you, Holy Spirit. I need you. I need you as much as the day that I was baptized in the Spirit. I need you as much today as I needed you the day you gave me that prayer language. I need a fresh touch of the Spirit of God. Be filled with, do not be drunk with wine that leads to excess and debauchery, but be filled and filled and filled and filled and filled with the Spirit of God. Be filled right now. Be drunk with the Holy Ghost right now in the name of Jesus. Receive a fresh, oh man, I feel that in my legs right now. I'm telling you, I feel the river of God beginning to flow right now in this room in the name of Jesus. Receive, receive, receive in the name of the Lord Jesus. If you don't have a prayer language, I'm telling you, even right now, if you just opened your mouth and opened your heart, I'm telling you, if you would just say, Jesus, baptize me with the Holy Spirit. I want everything you have for me. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is in this place right now. He is strengthening you. You will not die in the valley. You will not quit in the valley. This is not the end of the story. This is not the end of the story. This is not the end of the story. Shimakata. Can you sing something? For the possibility. Here's what I want to ask tonight. Is there anyone who would feel like I'm facing, if I could just have a little more light, you would feel like you're facing an impossible situation, a situation bigger than you, a situation where I'm preaching to you tonight and you need the word of the Lord, you need wisdom, you need the clear voice of the Holy Spirit, you need direction. If this word was for you, can I just see your hands? I want to pray for you tonight. If you would, can you just quickly move out of your seat? Meet me at this altar. Just come as close as you can here to the center. And as you come, can you lift your hands? Because I believe the voice of the Holy Spirit's going to speak tonight.
Holy, all the earth singing, holy. All the angels cry, holy.
Jesus,
you lift that up to the Lord.
Every voice sing worthy.
creation sings worthy. All the heavens and all things, Jesus, you alone.
Now just with your hands raised in the name of Jesus, I declare God's making a way where there seems to be no way. I declare He's opening up a great door of opportunity, though many oppose you. I declare mountains are bowing down, valleys are rising up, crooked paths are being made straight. So Holy Spirit, come and be in front of us, behind us, above us, beneath us, on every side of us. So that when the enemy comes in one direction, he has to flee in seven. In the name of Jesus. I prophesy you out of limitation right now in the name of Jesus. And I declare you are breaking out of this thing in Jesus' name. Every hand in the room raised, open your mouth and worship Him. Say. Challenge you We don't have an offering plan tonight, but you're in a season of giving with this offering that's coming up and has begun. And I felt like the Lord told me there's some of you that either in the natural just wouldn't make sense to give in it, so you just went, oh, this isn't for me, so no, man. Or others of you, you just kind of gave what was the natural kind of, yeah, I can do this. And it got me thinking about that story. It just came to my mind in 1 Kings 17 when Elijah goes to a woman and it's a famine. It's over. She's got this little bit of meal left, a little bit of flour left. And she says, Prophet, I'm going to eat it. I'm going to give it to my baby. We're going to die. And Elijah says, well, okay, but before you do that, make me a cake. Make me some bread. And you just think about that in 2019. Imagine a preacher saying that. I mean, it's over. That's on every news outlet. That's on Fox News, CNN. That's on, I mean, that is, it's over. Insensitive. Prophets are insensitive. But they'll break you out of famine. And I think, you know, we don't know this for sure. I think when we get to heaven, I want to ask Elijah, because I think he probably went, make me a cake first. And then when he said it, he went, oh my God, what am I saying? What is, you know what I mean? Like, we forget he's a human. Like, oh man, what am I saying? You know, sometimes I think as preachers, we feel that way. We, come on, believe God. Come on, we're going to. And it's like, oh man. You know, we have a flesh just like you. And by faith, she took care of that man. And that's Old Testament. New Testament is the body of Christ. If I could say it this way, she took care of her church. She took care of the kingdom. And there was supernatural provision. I just want to encourage somebody. I believe this is a miracle moment with this offering. And I'm telling somebody, don't miss it. Just telling you. I don't know who I'm talking to, but there's some people that you need to, you gave by fact, but you didn't give by faith. And I think it's easy to just kind of look at the facts and go, okay, but there's something about taking that step of faith into the unknown. That's where miracle ground is. That's where miracle harvest happens. So I want to encourage somebody with that. The days of this church are getting brighter and brighter. God is expanding you. He's giving you more territory. He's giving your pastors more territory. He's giving you more territory. Connect to it. Don't just watch it. Connect to it. And I know you're here on a Monday night, so you're the Navy SEALs of the church. You know, but connect to it. Because as this thing begins to grow more and more, take on new things, and I believe even miracle ground and miracle real estate and miracle opportunities are going to open up. I'm telling you, be a part. Don't just watch it. Don't just clap for the preacher. Get in on it. Because it will be directly connected to your house. I promise you it'll be directly connected to your house. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Pastor, I'm done. I love y'all. I want to come back.